And the resurrected Christ keeps showing up to eyewitnesses, and there's these similar interesting responses. There's wonder, there's worship, there's a will, and there's a witness. Matthew 28, he shows up. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to a mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Matthew 28, when they saw him, they worshiped him. A beautiful response to the resurrected Christ. We do it every week. We want to see Jesus. We want to encounter him. We want to worship him, which means to serve, to love, and to obey him. And they worshiped him when they saw him. And almost in a parenthetical footnote, Matthew adds, but some doubted. Isn't that interesting? In the middle of worship and joy and service of Jesus, there can be a place for doubt. Honest concern. Is this all real? We saw that ugly, brutal cross. Is this really Jesus? And some doubt. And then he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In case you're worried about what's happening in the world, Jesus has the authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. It's interesting. What Jesus is doing on this mountain is very reminiscent. When he says, therefore, go and make disciples, that little phrase doesn't mean go away. It means as you go, love your neighbor. Whatever you do, do it with all your might. And it's a throwback. Make disciples of all nations. It's a throwback to Moses in Exodus 33. God says, listen, Moses, go into the promised land. I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send an angel because you're overseeing a stiff-necked people, some doubters. And Moses says, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. I'm so glad you opened with that presence song. Yesterday, I was at a conference, and this beautiful, large man at the conference in the call to worship, it was your presence, Lord, was the song. Fill this room with your awesome presence, Lord. And he stood behind me and he sang, and our friend Jeremy Dorton was leading. And every time he said that word, your presence, Lord, it was just like tidal waves of grace in my life. It was so powerful. Moses says, unless your presence goes with us, I'm not going. And then in Matthew 28, teach them to obey everything I've commanded them. Make disciples, and I'm with you always. I want to make a little play on that word, make disciples, because I think when we hear that word, we get lots of different thoughts. And the word that comes to my mind when I hear make disciples, we've heard the word apprentice, we've heard protege, we've heard a lot of different things with make disciples. You know what I think making disciples really is? Parenting. Parenting. It takes a long time to parent a child and to teach them to obey all that Jesus has commanded. And Jesus is going to teach his disciples a lesson about that, about the timing and about the extension. Because when the book of Luke ends, we dealt with that last week, and Jesus reveals himself, Luke keeps writing. In Acts chapter 1, he says, in my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until he was taken up to heaven. After his suffering, he presented himself and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. That's Acts chapter 1. He gave them very convincing proofs. You know what those proofs were? Convincing proofs that he was alive? He touched them. He talked to them. He ate with them. And he spent time with them. Living in the light of the resurrection takes a long time. Period of time. It's like family. And for 40 days, he spoke about the kingdom, the place where God rules. And I just love the way that John picks up on this in his epistle. He says, that which we've seen from the beginning, which we have heard seen with our eyes, heard with our ears. We have looked at and our hands have touched. We proclaim concerning the word of life, this life appeared, Zoe, the life of God appeared, and we bear witness. The word is marteros, witness. We are witnesses. Whenever it uses that word witness, martyr, it's an eyewitness who has seen or heard, which can make courtroom witness. They gathered around, and of course, they're with him, and Jesus says, while he was eating with them, wonderful little details Luke puts in the text, Acts 1:4, while he was eating with them, he gave him this command. I want to hang in here for a moment. He's just said, go and make disciples, and then he says, don't go. Don't leave. Don't go to Jerusalem. Wait. Wait for the gift of my Father, which he's promised you. We live in this incredible, instant gratification society. We grab the phone. I don't even have mine here. We grab the phone. We grab the computer, the drive-through. Everything is instant. We want it now, and our Christian witness, our martyrdom, has become an instant thing. If someone doesn't immediately respond to us and immediately listen and hear the things we're proclaiming, we get this insecurity and fear. And Jesus is saying, I want you to learn to wait for the gift that my Father is going to give you. I hate to quote her, but her name is Veruca Salt. Remember Veruca? Yeah. Of course, from Willy Wonka, you're tracking with me, girl. I love it. This is what she says. I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it all up in my pocket. It's my bar of chocolate. Give it to me now. Whoever wrote that's amazing. I want today. I want tomorrow. I want to wear them like braids in my hair, and I don't want to share them. She goes on and on. I want the works. I want the whole works, presents and prizes and sweets and surprises, all shapes and sizes. I don't care how. I want it now. What an indictment on our society. And I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this, but this song speaks to my heart because I like where this guy's going. And he titles his song, If I Could Have a Beer with Jesus. It's non-alcoholic, relax. Heaven knows I'd sip it nice and slow. I'd try to pick a place that's not too crowded. I'd gladly go wherever Jesus wants to go. You can bet I'd order up a couple of tall ones and tell the waitress to put them on my tab. I'd be sure to let Jesus do the talking. And I'd be really careful when I got the chance to ask. And then I'd say, Jesus, how did you turn the other cheek to save a sorry soul like me? Do you hear the prayers I send? What happens when life ends? And when do you think you're coming back again? I tell everyone. I wonder who would believe if I could sit down and have, we'll say, conversation with Jesus. There is statistics right now, my friends, in England that don't get published. And the church's attendance has gone from 4% to 12% in the last 5 years. There's little revivals happening all over the world with people who are waiting, who have decided, I will wait for God to move on his time. I'm going to wait. And a couple from England came to Asbury. They were visiting and praying for revival every single day at Asbury Seminary a few years ago, and they would walk around the campus. For 10 years, they walked around the campus at Asbury just recently, and nothing happened, so they went back. And they decided a few years later just to go touch base with some of the people at the college. And when they got back to the college, they walked around and they prayed one more time.
And then when I went to the Sunday service, that's when that revival broke out. And kids were coming to Christ by the hundreds. They gathered around Jesus and they said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It always somehow gets political. He said, it's not for you to know the times, but you will receive dunamis. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, my martyrs, in Jerusalem, Judea, throughout the whole world. I love the play on wait. You will receive power. You will be my witnesses. You will witness throughout the whole world. There's a waiting, there's a will, and there's a witness. We're going to spend a little bit more time as Kevin sings and wait. God, what is your will for me in this moment? And what is the witness of the Spirit? And I know you're wondering, what is he doing with that golf club? I am... Sorry, buddy. I have tried my whole life to get good at this. And I'm a chronically impatient person, and nothing has made me angrier and more frustrated than trying to get this. You golfers, this is a nice AP2 Titleist wedge to get good at this. And well, who said that? Who just said that? Someone just said grip. He knows exactly where I'm going. That they call it you're pressing, you're squeezing. And there's so many nuances to golf. I call it the analysis that causes paralysis. Okay, so I've got a draw, and then somewhere in here I've got a hinge, and then I got to start with my hips. At this point, I'm like, it's not even worth it. And then you start with, and then you got to make a, you know, you got to kind of come down in contact and then through and turn. And it just gets so frustrating. And then you see people who've put in the work when no one else is looking, whether it's singing, whether it's counseling, whether it's building. I don't know what you do, but when you see someone effortlessly who's put in the work when no one else is looking, they're not squeezing. The grip is, they say, like holding a tube of toothpaste. It's relaxed. And it's so fluid and so smooth, and it's like, they say it's like butter. I've only felt it a couple of times, but it's beautiful. And we overanalyze our walk with Jesus sometimes. And we squeeze, and we try and press and do things without him. He made it pretty clear, without me, you can do nothing. So to rest in him and to wait upon him is the best way. And I would say, and thank you, Basil, you're the man, I wouldn't be worried about your grip on the club. I'd understand his grip on you. He's got you in his hand. That's the game changer. That's the game changer. Thanks, Kev. We're going to spend some time just meditating on waiting, the will of the Lord for our heart, and what's our witness going to look like as we move forward. Thanks, pal. I'll close out in a bit.
I was driving. I use that term loosely on the 401. I was really parked, where we spend most of our time. And I'll never forget the moment when this song came to me. I don't know if you've ever struggled with feeling like you've, oh God, I did it again. I'm coming to you again for the same stuff. This guilt, this humiliation, this frustration. And you come back to the Lord again, and then the next day you're there again. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that feels that. There's something about in prayer actually hearing the words of Jesus: "You are forgiven." It's one thing to hear it, to read it, hear it from someone else, and to understand it. But when you can get deep enough in communication with the Father, and you can actually hear the Creator of the universe speak into your life, you are forgiven. That's what I wish for you this morning.
With outstretched arms, he'll welcome you and proudly call you his own. You need to hear him say, forgiven. You need to hear him call your name.